Read today in the 18th chapter of Proverbs, reading the 24th verse, and I want each and every one of you to pay attention. These are two small verses, but the 18th chapter and the 24th verse. A man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And then if you go into Ecclesiastes, the very last chapter and the first verse, that's the 12th chapter and the first verse. Remember now thy creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. Now, you know, those seem strange to tie them two together, but here I'm 77 years old. In just a couple of months, I'll be 78. And I can honestly say that that first verse there in that 12th chapter, I'm experiencing some of that last part of that. Nor the years draw nigh when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. The older you get, the more things hurt you and the less time that you have to live in just peace and comfort and joy. You know, it's been such a long time. You almost forget what it was like to get up in the morning with nothing hurting, to go all day and nothing hurting, to lay down at night and nothing hurting. But you and I today, as we get older, we find the things that we did when we was young, that it only took a day or so to get over them, they come back and they bother you for months and years in your life, because our body has a reaction to the abuse that we put it through. But then when you come to that 24th verse, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. That's the one that even when we get old, that friend that's closer than a brother, that makes it all bearable, that even in the time when it seems like today, there ain't nothing that I can enjoy. We can begin to think about the things of God, and we can have pleasure in that day, and be it by me, in a body that's getting old and wearing out, but he can rejoice in the things of God. It will only get a mind and a heart lifted above the things of this world, and forget letting the things here start bothering us or discouraging us. Get out over there and realize that friend is there to see you through anything. But today, I'm afraid too many times people, we forget about that friend. And Christ is there if we only call upon him. You know, I've had in my lifetime a lot of people that I referred to them as friends. But really, the older I get, I realize I've had very few friends. I've had a lot of acquaintances, but very few friends. There's a lot of difference in a friend and an acquaintance. A friend is someone, no matter what's going on, they'll come and they'll help you any way they can. That's a friend. But that friend that you look on, when you call upon them for some of the simplest thing, they can't, because they got this to do and they got that to do, and they'll never turn their back upon anything that they want themselves to help somebody else. You and today, he said, you want friends, you must show yourself friendly. We must lay aside a lot of time to things we want to do, that we might help somebody that we look at as being a friend, because if we want them to do that for us, then we need to be willing to do that for them. And you'll find Christ there, that last part. There is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. This is wrote in Proverbs. And Christ is that friend. Here, I'm sure the writer of Proverbs probably never figured anything like what Christ is to me and you. But Christ there, no matter what comes or goes, 24 hours a day, we find we can get in touch with him and he cares about us. You and I, anything that we're interested in, that we care about, Christ cares. And if we'll just put Christ first in our life, no matter what we face, we'll find that he's there to be with us, to comfort us in it. And, you know, coming back there to that first verse of the 12th chapter of Ecclesiastes, there, each and every one of us, you know, as we get older, and there's things in life, even, you know, I've had friends, I've had relatives, you name it, I've had people that turned their back and walked away from me. People that you thought you could always depend upon, but yet you can't. But Christ is one. And then when you go getting old, we'll find it seems to even be closer if you let him be important in your life. When you need him in the middle of the night, we can call upon him and find out that he's there listening to us. When we need him, when our brother, our sister, no matter who it is, might not have time for it, we call upon him, we'll find that he's right there. He's ready to help. He's ready to have the answer that we're looking for, and we'll just take the time to listen to what God is trying to say to us. I was listening to a preacher this week, and he was speaking about how God spoke to him. You know, that's a strange thing. There's all kinds of people that don't understand. God can still speak to us in that small, still boy, that we can know beyond the shadow of a doubt who it is that's communicating with us. But I'm afraid too many times today we're too busy to hear that small, still voice. We're wanting something loud that just shakes our whole world. Well, if it was necessary, God could come to you that way. But, you know, a lot of times I've prayed about things and I wake up in the middle of the night, and the thought that comes to my mind as I wake up is the answer to what I was praying about. God can just put it in our mind what he wants us to hear if we're willing to listen. Each and every one of us, you know, we can, and I don't know, granted I'm getting old, but I've been a person that don't sleep too long a time in the bed. A lot of times I get up and I finish my night's sleep off in a recliner after I woke up and had my breakfast, but I'm getting any more. When I sit down and get still for any length of time, I end up getting these power naps, and sometimes it's quite a few of them in a day. But for the last few nights, I normally am awake by somewhere between 3 and 4 o'clock. But I've been oversleeping, and this morning I didn't wake up to 5:10. And, you know, that's something that's late for me. But God knows exactly what we need and when we need it. And you and I, if we'll just put our faith and trust in God, it could be as simple as a good night's rest. God's able to give it to us when we need it, if we'll pray and talk to him. Each and every one of us, you know, we have people. I was talking to my brother this week, and he said, well, I just got out of the hospital last night. And I said, well, what was wrong? Nobody told me that you was even in the hospital. And he said, my blood was so low and my arm was so low, they wanted me to go to the hospital and get it, because they said I couldn't get in there till 2 days to get tested, and then it'd be another day before they could get it into me. And he said, so they want me to go to the hospital. And he said, Monday they'll test me again to see if I got enough. He said, but I'm still not, I can tell I'm not right yet. He said, I was down so low. He said, Norma had to help me even to get to the bathroom because I couldn't walk by myself. You and I today, we look at that. And he said, and I said, well, why are they waiting so long to give you your arm?
And he said, when I called them, said they were surprised I was still here. They thought I would be gone by now. You and I don't know when my brother's time is going to be up. The Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die, and after the death, the judgment. Each and every one of us, we never know when our time is coming. The doctor might think it's going to be just in a little while, in just a few days. But God has a time, and when that time comes, that's when we're going to be leaving this world. Are we ready to go? Do we have that friend extend closer than a brother? Oh, there's no greater peace than to think that maybe this is when you're going to die. And yet you know, if I close my eyes, it's all right. I'm not worried about how I'm going to face God, because I've been praying. And I know that everything between me and God's all right. And looking forward to seeing that friend. You and I, you know, like I said, I'll be 78 in a couple of months. And, oh, well, it's almost 3 months. But you and I, you know, that's longer than most people gets to live. So I'm thankful for every day God's given me. And I don't want to waste any that I've got left, because I never know when my last day is going to be. And I want to be a friend to those here that I've met. To where when I'm dead and gone, they will still remember me as being a friend, somebody that could count on to tell them the truth, to be there in any way that I could when they needed me. You and I, that is a good way for us to witness also for God, to let people know how important he is to us and what a great friend he is. And I'm afraid today, too many times, we leave God out of the equation. We overlook the things that's the most important in life, and we go after that that seems to be so unimportant. And there are people that strive their whole life for things to obtain here in this life, that they might have that to boast. And yet, when they die, somebody else is going to enjoy it. Nobody takes it with us. You know, we come into this world naked, and that's the way we're going to leave it. You might say, well, no, they bury people all the time in a suit of clothes. Yeah, but that soul, as far as God's concerned, is naked. And do you realize, when you look at a person in a casket, most of the time that suit of clothes is split down the back, and they just lay it over them, put their arms and their legs in it best they can, and they tuck it underneath. The backside is naked. Each and every one of us, God sees us for who we are. And unless we have that robe of righteousness on, we're standing before God naked. And we need to recognize that. That friend that's willing to be there for us died that we might have life. And if we don't accept it, it's our own fault for being naked. It's our own fault for not having a comforter when troubles and trials come. You know, when my brother called me about my nephew this week, he is invalid in bed, can't get out. He just barely is able to feed himself as long as it's a sandwich. Outside of that, he can't hold anything to drink or to feed himself. And woke up and he had threw up all over the bed and himself and everything. Wasn't even able to call his wife for help that was asleep, just in a next room there. She can hear him, but he wasn't able to even call for help, or I don't know if he was even conscious enough to know that he needed help. And I was just thinking, oh, what an awful life to live like that. You and I today, no matter what our troubles and our trials are here, when this life is over, if our heart's right with God, we'll never know a problem again. But if our heart isn't right with God, no matter how bad this life was,
It was far better than anything that we would ever know again. And you and I today, there, as we get old and we have pains and things that hurts us, just remember, life is short, and we'll only have to suffer it for a little while if we're living our life for God. Once this life is over, never will we know pain again. You know, in heaven, there's no cemeteries. There's no hospitals. There's no one sick. You and I today, we just need to realize the best is yet to come if we're living our life for God. And if we're not, if we're putting our faith and trust in things here, oh, what a disappointment this life is going to be. And oh, what a disappointment the life to come is going to be. But if we live for God, we can rejoice in knowing that each and every one of us has a better place to go than anything that we've ever known here. You know, I come back to that preacher's wife. Somebody was saying that they was looking at the times and Christ could come back at any time. And they was looking forward to it. And her answer was, well, I hope not right now. We just built our new home and I'd like to live in it for a while. That showed that woman's heart was not really right with God, because anything, I don't care if I just build a home and it was inlaid every floor in it with gold. What's waiting for us in heaven is far better than anything here. So why on earth would we be wanting to stay here if our heart's really right with God? You and I today, we need to get our mind elevated above the things of this world and get it upon that friend that sticks closer than a brother. You know, a lot of times we find here in this life, family will desert us. Someone that we thought we could depend on, though they might be related to us, will forsake us, turn their back and walk away. I've had friends, preachers that we all started out in the same church together as young preachers, announced their calling to preach. And I've had many of them that turned and walked away from the strict way of preaching, the way my father preached, and the way I still try to preach, the way the Bible says it. And they started making excuses for friends, for loved ones, for people, or for their own selves. Why? Or how that they didn't have to live according to what the Bible said. You and I, when we stand before God, we're going to find out God did not send his word here for me and you to pick and choose what part we want to abide by. He sent it here for each and every one of us to apply it to our lives daily. And I hope and pray that each and every one of you will find out just how sweet and how dear that friend is that sticks closer to than a brother. The older you get, the more you can know just how important God is in your life, just how much you need him. You know, a lot of times young people, we get up and we go through a day and we think, well, I accomplished this, I accomplished that, and we're glad at what we was able to do, and we don't stop to think, if it wasn't for the hand of God, I couldn't have done that. Sometimes when we get stricken with sickness or something, we realize just how vulnerable we are. Well, even when we're healthy, if it wasn't for the hand of God, we're very vulnerable, and we need to realize that. Why don't we sing just one verse of a song? I never like to close a service without giving a person a chance to come and pray. And each and every one of us, just remember, if you're still young, that if God don't come back, those years of pain, misery, they're coming on you. And, you know, my hand there, because a cow had me pinned up against a fence,
back when my son was just a baby, and I had hit that cow in the neck to try and get her off of me, and she didn't move. Well, I come back the next time, and I'm going to hit her a lot harder to try and get her to get that barbed wire out of my back. And just as she seen it coming, she took a step, and I hit her shoulder blade with that hand. And it only took me a few days then to get over it. It swelled up some, but now it hurts every day. And at the time, I never thought it was going to be anything that lasts. You and I, every day, there's things that happens in our life that can bring up pain and misery. And no matter what it is, God can see us through it if we'll put our faith and trust in Him. And it might be something simple as a swelled up hand, a hand that don't want to grip and close tight the way that it used to. Or it may be something in your soul where the faith of God has been proven to you to where no matter what comes your way, you don't waver in believing that God's able to see you through it. While we stand and sing,